Today on Media Lyric Sandwich, we talk about locations, adapting to your surroundings and things that's going on and people.
Maybe a ghost or two.
Wait, the Pod Bros ghost?
I'm not saying. Tune in and listen.
Welcome to Media Lyric Sandwich, episode 32. With me is Mark Monster from
CrazyMark.com.
And I'm Toden from Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. William is not with us today.
Get well, William. He's got the sniffles and he's getting sick, man. It's getting around. He's got the boogie fever. He's getting down. We want you to get back up and join us here at the sandwich, dude.
Yeah, because it's always all about William.com.
Yeah.
Who's not here, but we miss him already. Well, anyway, Media Lyric Sandwich today is filmed in front of a live audience.
Hey, live audience, let's hear some applause. Yeah, live audience. Yeah.
He had to put his beer down first.
Yeah. Right on.
So, you know, we're in a small bedroom, technically, and one thing is people ask is, where should I record? Where can I record? What do you do in this situation, that situation?
Oh, man, Toden, the sky's the limit on that one, man. Just the other week, I recorded in a closet.
Well, closets are great places for audio recordings.
I mean, this is literally, I was in a coat closet, no larger than that thing you see on the other side of the room.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about something, because a lot of people do use closets for voiceovers.
Yeah.
And even, you know, single podcasts, but mostly voiceovers and even dialogue replacement, because closets are great. You get into a closet, you know, with coats and everything, and it's a great sound room.
Oh, yeah.
But what you're talking about is a little bit different.
Oh, I got dragged into that one by Creepy the Clown.
Oh, the closet you're talking about now?
Well, it was a closet kind of situation where I had to record something for a college assignment. Uh-huh. And I couldn't get anyone to play Batman for my college assignment. Couldn't find a superhero girl. So, you know, I'm like, Creepy. And he goes, what? You know, he gets all mean and everything, Creepy the Clown does. But I managed to get him to be in a commercial.
Okay.
Yeah. In a closet. That's where he lives.
But yeah, a lot of people record in closets. This is great, like, audio place. I think it's better than recording in a car, which is another place a lot of people will record in our cars.
Now, you did mention something about recording in a car, Toad. And where, what instance? Tell me about it. Tell all.
Well, I know when I was in college, we needed to record a couple audio commercials. So instead of trying to fit into a closet, which is, like I just said, a great spot to record, we went to a car because that's pretty close to soundproof. And plus, we needed to get like 3 or 4 people in the thing. So we did it inside of a car.
And hopefully it wasn't hot, you know.
Sometime. No, but that's a common place. A lot of people record vlogs in cars. I mean, there's driving vlogs, but I don't want to talk about that. But there are people that still sit in the car and vlog because it's soundproof. They're away from everything. It's quieter as long as they're not next to the freeway or something.
Yeah, no interruptions, man. Now I see your point. I've never really considered recording in a car, but now that you've brought that up,
Yeah, I know quite a few people have done that. But it's all about adapting your situations. You need something done, you find it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, whether it's a car or it's a large auditorium, you know.
Or it's a bedroom. And this morning, in one of the other rooms, it was actually a leaking apartment with water coming down, which I'm so happy it's not in this room. But if it was in this room, what would we have to do?
Renter's insurance.
Well, I have renter's insurance, but we'll just have to adapt.
Yes, of course, you adapt until the renter's insurance kicks in. Yeah,
At least I have renter's insurance. I don't have equipment insurance, but I have renter's insurance. Okay, so, you know, we recorded in many different places. I know in Lansing for the How to Halloween, it was very loud. And the way we adjusted to that was, one, our microphones aren't set for a big, huge Omni pickup. I know listening to it while there, it was very hard to filter things out. But in the end, I think it worked out pretty well. I mean, you can still hear some of the music, but choosing the right microphones for settings is great, but you don't always get to do that. So what do you suggest? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, as far as a large gathering, a large event, true, having microphones that only pick up a certain radius around the microphone itself.
Like cardioid.
Yeah, it's the way to go, you know? I mean, if you're going out somewhere with a shotgun, if you're going out with something with super sensitive, forget about it. Or a camera, mm-hmm. Anything like that, stick with separate miking. That's the best way to go. But in my way past experience, say, for example, I'm out at a club. I take just the camera out, doing the gorilla recording routine, using the camera mic, which is, well, you know, I'm breaking all the laws there. I tend to get close in on people. Right. And what happens is you hear their vocals, their voice, their interview, usually over the band. A lot of people make the mistake and they'll sit back several feet and go, okay, ask the questions and you won't hear a thing. If you get up close, believe it or not, if you get up close with a camera and a camera mic, its own mic, you know, the built-in mic.
If that's all you have, that's what you got
to
use.
Yeah, yeah. And if you get close to someone and you can get someone, you know, a couple people speaking in an average conversation, mm-hmm. then that camera will pick up the voice between the two people interviewing, talking, whatever, over whoever's being loud in the background.
Oh, you know what I had to do once? So I did this promo for this contest years ago, and they said, you can't use any professional equipment because we want to advertise anyone can use anything for this. So they said I could only use smartphones. And this is when, like, iPhones, maybe it was on just about to come out of the second gen. I know the first gen was still pretty decently new or something like that. But I was able – I took two phones, you know. Okay. And I recorded one phone, and the other phone was actually my microphone.
Okay,
because they're like, you cannot use professional equipment. You can't even use a microphone. So I had to bend bend the rules. I'm like, yeah, well, I got two cell phones. I can use two cell phones.
Folks, one he's got way more than two cell phones.
Maybe. But at the time, I was able to borrow two cell phones off of people that were there that had better quality than mine.
And now you know why he has more than two cell phones. Just in case he can whip out one and use for video and the other with a voice app.
Okay.
And how did that work out for you?
It worked out fine. I mean, the client was happy. I was happy. They got, you know, I don't know if that had anything to do with the turnout for the contest, but it seemed like everyone was happy. The client came back with more work later on, so I call that a win.
That's cool. I mean, being able to take just two cell phones and go out and get the maximum results from minimal gear to, you know, address whatever you need and then make the client, you know, like tickled pink and want you to do more stuff.
Dude, it is my hat's off to you. It's all about adjusting to the situation. I had another person wanted me to record a contest for them, and they said, just bring any camera. So I didn't bring my good camera. In fact, I just bought this camera we're using right here. So I used, not that one either. In fact, the one, that black bag above it.
Let's grab
above.
Thing.
Above.
Oh.
That one.
Oh, in there.
In front of your hand. This is the camera that I use pretty much throughout.
Check it out.
My school days, my university days. So I brought this camera out, and I had a tripod, but I forgot the tripod plate, and I did not know that what we were filming was actually going to be a big deal. I just went, and they just said, hey, bring anything. So I brought this camera out, a little tiny microphone. I still didn't use the onboard microphone. I bought a little tiny microphone.
Right on.
And I had, like, one light. I think it was, like, one of these lights that are falling apart, actually, when they saw foxes. Probably that one right there. And that was it. And then we filmed a little thing called Nerf Hoarders versus Zombies.
Oh, wait a minute, man. Didn't that get like 100 million hits or something?
15 million right now.
Dude, and it was on that camera.
It was on this camera.
Oh, man, look at this. We got to let people check it
out.
Still
mini DVD.
This is the camera that did it right there.
And I had this awesome camera.
Now,
at the time, I just bought that one, and we used this one because I thought because they're just like, hey, just bring something out. I don't care what you bring. And I had a full, I had to bring something that wasn't clonky because I was running around a lot.
This camera looks very familiar. Oh, this is CMOS. Is this a 3CD, 3CCD or?
Yeah, it is a 3CCD. The model on that
is... And this is the Panasonic,
H. No, it's a Canon.
A Canon. It looks like a Panasonic I have, man, because mine was a 3CCD and...
yeah, that's...
But it wasn't CMOS.
Yeah, that's... Those aren't the model numbers. That's things to do with the camera. I believe the model number on this is an HV40.
Oh, hell, CMOS.
Anyways, Vixia HV40. All the Canons call their consumer stuff Vixia now, don't they?
Yeah. But there it is, folks. That's the legendary camera right there. The legendary viral video camera right there, folks.
Mini DV tapes are not included.
Oh, you gotta love those mini DV tapes.
Well, it's again adjusting to the situation. And I actually didn't have my tripod plate, so we end up taping it to the tripod for the scenes we used the tripod on. Didn't have something to put the boom mic on because I was seriously just grabbing stuff as I was leaving the house.
I mean, yeah.
So someone else actually held the boom mic, this little tiny boom mic during the scenes. And if you could see that in the behind the scenes that someone's holding, I'm probably usually, I was the one holding the camera, and then you'll see one of the other guys holding the boom mic close, me tell him to go ahead and get closer. And then he was our boom pole.
That's
great.
Cool, being able to utilize, like peeps hanging out and saying, hey, why don't you hold this for me while I shoot this? And I need two more extra arms. You over there, hold this. You over there, hold that.
And that's a part of having a good community, too. I mean, when you're on a college campus, if people aren't too busy, like if it's not right before finals, you can usually find someone to help.
Yeah.
In this case, we're part of a fraternity. So you just tell your fraternity brother, hey, look, I need something. Yeah, what you need, brother? Okay, cool.
Well, there you go.
If they
it's
can.
Good to have a good support base as well. He had a fraternity base. He had like several dozen peeps at his disposal right then and there, But for a lot of you out there who work alone.
Yes. And that's
alone.
What we're used to doing.
See, that's the
thing. We are used to being by ourselves.
I've worked alone since years ago. We're talking back during the days of the dinosaur. Everybody keeps coming up and saying, hey, Mark, there's no I in team. And I said, yeah, but there's no you in team either. In my experience with a team and trying to get some peeps together, there's usually three different kinds of people. There's the loud mouth who claims and takes all the credit. There's the quiet one who has all the talent. And then there's the rest of them who gravitate towards the loud mouth. So, I've always found it hard to get along in teams, so to speak.
So which one am I? I'm the loud mouth, right?
No, you're the toad. But no, when you're alone, that's when you get to really improvise, using all sorts of stuff that's lying around. You got to MacGyver things. And then, hey, you end up making real, bedazzlement out of BS,
And what was the common situation? Are you talking about in the studio or are you talking about doing the conventions? What was the common situation where you were by yourself?
Everywhere, man, whether it's recording rock and roll or bands or music acts or...
So you're doing a music act. What do you mean you're by yourself?
Are
you
doing... In other words, I'm out at the club, got one camera, that's it. I'm recording the band. I'm interviewing the band with that camera. It's all mobile, all in my hand, like this size right here. We're recording the band. We're recording the interview. And in one case, all of you have it lucky with a turnaround viewfinder where you can actually sight yourself and do the selfie. I was doing it before that came out, which meant I had to figure, well, I hope I'm in the center and I'm not cutting myself off or my...
A lot of people still do that with cell phones, though.
And some people are successful and other people are not because they don't bother to practice.
I feel like that is kind of the norm, that you always go out by yourself. I mean, most of my videos, I'm lucky enough now that my nephew comes out and helps me. And I'm also very lucky that a lot of these events, I know a lot of people. I mean, just because you know someone doesn't mean they can help you. Like, I know you, and you could be hosting something. I can't ask you to do something while you're, you know, while you're doing your job. But I can go up to your booth and like, hey, I'm going to throw this underneath the table. Is that okay? Usually no. When I ask people that I know, about 9 times out of 10, if not a little less than that, I usually get an okay, unless they have, and they say, no, I don't, there's no reason to question. You don't know what they have underneath their table. You don't know if they have something breakable underneath there or not.
It's really cool, you know, when you get to the Comic-Cons and whatnot, if you're with the other artists and, mm-hmm. and you know the community, people get to know you and you get out and about, and that's what we encourage you all listening out there.
Right.
Get out and about. Don't be shy. Go out and show.
Showing the community. Yes. We love you. Come yes. on, hang out. It's not about being jealous. Everyone gets a turn.
Oh, but dude, though. I will,
some people
I will
are,
say,
though.
I will say, though, mm-hmm. that, you know, it's like if you have your gear, there's an artist who will be glad to have your gear under their table. I've experienced that. Mm-hmm. But one rule of thumb I've always learned, that if you're a videographer and you have your own program going on, tread very lightly around others at the same convention who
yes.
do the same thing that you do.
Yes.
Keep it to an acquaintance. Smile. Be congenial. And at some points and times, whatever you do, don't give away any of your own trade secrets. And, you know, it's a thing where you just tread very lightly around others who do the same thing you do.
You know, I'm not going to fully agree, but I'm not going to fully disagree either. I think that's how you kind of breed competition. I think that's a great topic for another time.
Yeah, that'll be a
that's competition in itself and how you you know, that's a great, because I got a lot of stories for even from just people I went to school with, both the university and Specs Howard, especially
oh, yeah.
Specs Howard. Oh man, that was some weird competition.
There was that place, yeah, over there. It was Media One. There's a guy who used to take care of all the different things over there. He'd work on set. He'd help out around the studio. He's this old guy. I'd go in to mix public access television. And
right.
essentially, it was a thing with the old tapes. You know, you go in with your half inch and you're mixing from deck A to deck B. And you had to get it right in the first couple shots or you've messed up your tape. You remember those days, don't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so essentially what's going on, this guy would always come around, see how I was doing. He's like, hey, Mark, what's mm-hmm. up? Blah, blah, blah. Good to see you again. He'd finally leave and go home. Well, he passed away. But he still would come back at the studio, and I'd hear footsteps in the hall while I was editing in edit suite number 2 or 3 or whichever. And you'd hear footsteps, and then they'd get silent as if he were standing behind mm-hmm. you. You know, and you just acknowledge their presence and say, you know, hey, God bless you, hope is well, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. great spirit bless you, whatever is well, and move on with your production. A lot of people, they freak out and run down the hill and go nuts over.
You just deal with it, and, you know, there's
yeah.
something going on, and you just go on.
Yeah, that's it. You know, if you do have a job to do, like you were saying earlier, you do it. Even if they're pulling your hair or pinching you, your posterior or mm-hmm. whatever, you just keep going. You know, the spirit ain't going to kill you. The ghost ain't going
right.
to knock you out, you know. Just keep moving along. You say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, that's good. I got a job to do. You know, we'll talk later. Move on.
Yeah, that's probably better than dealing with people. I mean, I had a film set once, and we were filming a short competition. No, was it a competition? I don't know. We're shooting a short movie, and we're in a storage facility, and some of the clients come in for their self-storage, and, you know, we're, you know, hey, are these things in your way? We'll move on your way. You know, everything's, you know, everyone was super nice. Everyone kept out of their way. If they're kind of lingering, they're like, hey, can I help you move something? Not in a very polite way. I had some really awesome people on set. There was this one, couple of these people that had a thing there. You know, they had their self-storage unit there. And they were not so nice. They were upset we were there. They were upset we were using power, even though they couldn't use power. They were upset that they couldn't use a plug when they weren't there. Which, oh, by the way, has nothing to do with us. We don't know anything about what you're supposed to do or not do. We had permission to be where we were, and we were fine. And there was actually end up to be a pretty big argument that ended up with them swinging at the manager of this place.
All right.
You know, what can you do? You know, and now I didn't actually hear about that too much until after it happened, and me being the producer, I wanted to make sure everything was good. It was nothing on us. It had everything to do with these other people, and that situation was dealt with. And yes, there was a police report file, and nothing to do with us, which is a good thing. But it really is adapting, because we know there's stuff going all around the storage facility, and sometimes those noises makes for some great effects on set.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, it's like you're dealing with belligerents there and individuals that come around while you're trying to record. And
yeah. You know, all of a sudden, there's also grabbing part of working with some great people. You don't really want to bring people that you think are going to cause an issue.
True. True. Very true. And you don't want to go to places where you think people there are going to cause an issue there either.
Right.
If you do, you're going to get in and get out fast.
Oh, well, now that was not a guerrilla shoot. We had permission. Now, I do know some places where filming on the sidewalk, public place on the sidewalk, but the owners of some places don't want you there. And one place in particular, downtown Detroit, they will come out with a megaphone and start just saying, get out, get out, get out, on their megaphone and ruining your sound because they do not want you in front of their building.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've had that happen over there at the, what is it, the football
field? You don't have to say any names here.
Oh, okay.
But it's in that area, the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah,
it's in that area. It wasn't one of the big, it wasn't the stadium.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But it was a building in that area.
It was interesting.
My friends that shot there that, you know, they still got what they needed. They only needed one line and mostly visuals. They got it.
I think there was a bit of favoritism in the one location I went to because it was like, oh, sir, you can't bring that camera in here. Yet everybody was going in with camera phones that had actually better picture quality than what I was carrying in. So I was like, oh, sir, you can't bring a camera into this place.
Yeah, because they don't know. They think they see you with a hand camera. They think that's more impressive than a cell phone. And nowadays, that's just not always true.
Yeah. Man, here's a good one. I was shooting one of Fat Mike, Big Mike, the guy from NoFX?
Oh, yeah, Fat Mike.
Yeah, one of his bands. And it was all cool, okay? I was shooting one of his bands. I think it was Fabulous Disaster. And then, what was it? There was a band that was not on the roster, on the Fat Mike roster, who was also playing there at this one place. And they said, get out of here. We don't want you or your camera in the building while our band plays, you know? So it was, in other words, if I was outside of the door, everything was okay. But the first time I'd step in the door, this lady, she had a death warrant on me. You know, she was like, she was like always like a, was it angry monkey from a Family Guy, always pointing at me every time I'd step foot in the door, be like, get out, you're not allowed in here while the band is playing, you know?
Right.
So it was,
I had someone threaten me with the cane. The guy,
what?
I went to, I had permission from a person running an event to store some equipment somewhere because I was also doing some programming as well. And so I go where they told me I could store some my equipment at. And the guy's like comes at me. I don't know. He had a cane for something.
Oh.
And he was just like, you're not allowed to be in here. You know that because everyone knows that. There's a sign on the door. So-and-so told me I could store gear in here. But I'm sorry, man. I've been kind of wild up. Just, you're good. Do what you need to do. You just got to be able to disarm people. I had another person got mad at me for something, and I started I just started laughing. I'm like, look, it's okay. This is what I'm here for. This is what I'm doing. I have permission for this. You know, I'm just trying to do a job too. And you just disarm just being straightforward and talking to people disarms them. You know, because you don't know what they just went through. You really don't.
Or you don't know what
they're
on.
Security has a job to do, and they're used to dealing with people that don't listen to them.
Yeah, man, they'll tackle you. I've seen, you know, peeps in my profession being drop kicked, you know? And I'm like, wait a minute here. What's this big football player doing drop kicking this geeky guy with a camera?
Don't challenge people.
Yeah. I mean,
security's there to provide just that security, and they, you know, and they don't always have good days.
But then again, adapting to another situation, right. There was trying to get in to work with an artist, so to speak. And I don't know what, there's one time I had to go back and forth between the manager and myself. Manager says, oh no, the artist will see you for the interview at 3:00. Oh no, he's changed his mind. He'll do it at 4:30. You only have 10 minutes. And then you get another call. Wait, he changed his mind. He's not going to do the interview at all. Then you get another call. Oh, okay, then he can interview you can hang out with him for a full half hour at this one point. Then you get another call. No, he's calling it off. I've actually had to work with people like that who are that fickle, who are that off their rocker. And, you know, Toad, you've had to work with people like that before.
Oh, yes. At one point, you're just like, am I doing this or am I not doing this? You know, you get like 5, 6, sometimes 10 phone calls in the span of 2 hours to the point where you don't want to pick up your phone because they're going to change the tiniest little detail.
Now, the way I adapted to a situation like that is when they finally did okay something, I said, well, I'm sorry, but, and I mentioned their competitor's name, has me coming in for an interview with them. I'm sorry, I can't work with you right now on this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that definitely worked. And if we all recall, I believe it was Michelangelo Bateo who was voted in as number one shredder of all time. Yeah, I did the interview with Michelangelo Bateo. Yeah.
Nice. Today we talked about adapting to situations, and that's really what you got to do. You know, everyone has a bad day, or you just acknowledge something is there if they're a ghost, apparently.
We'll talk more about paranormal on another show, like you said.
We got Mark Monster from
CrazyMark.com.
And I'm Toden from Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. Thank you to our live audience, Carl.
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah, woohoo.
And I'm sure he'll comment on this video on YouTube, and you could ask him, are the director's cuts worth watching? Because some episodes we cut out 3 minutes, some episodes we cut off like 15, 20 minutes. I never know until I'm in the editing room. So
that's another story altogether.
Thank you for listening. We're on Pod Bros. We love Pod Bros. Thank you for watching. Again, YouTube. I hope you enjoyed our discussion.
Yes. Tune in next time when you'll hear Toden say
something about meaty Larry sandwich.